Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
All people at home!
Let me talk to you!
Get the guns, the drugs from my generation, and it's a sin. The guns, the fake, the fraud, the messing with me. Come on, come on, come on!
Are you ready?
Let's get it out.
Move to the music, play that fucking music. Move it to the music.
Welcome to Monday Night Rollins.
We want the smoke.
Woo!
Freak out, freak out.
Yeah. New day.
Hey, yo.
You just made the list.
Enough is enough, and it's time for a change.
If I can be serious for a minute,
for the love of God, stay away from the dip of dogs.
Move to the music, play that fucking music. Move it to the music, yeah.
Cheers.
Acknowledge me.
Cheers, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the DWI podcast. My name is PC Tunney. I am your commissioner and the commissioner
of the United States
of damn dare Americas. And I am joined, as always, by the other half of the world's greatest tag team never. It's him. It is him. It doth be the man, the myth, the legend indeed, DPP.
Oh, man. That's just a legend.
They're just words. They don't really mean anything.
That's true. God damn it. Should have known that.
478 today here on the DWI podcast. Don't drink and drive. Drink and podcast. Make sure you're heading on over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Pick yourself up a chair shot t-shirt. Plenty of super cool, awesome, crazy designs there. Spend a couple extra bucks. Get it in soft style. Patrick O'Dowd would say your giblets would thank you. Yeah, listen to Bandwagon Nerds. We did a really fun project this last week. We did the year in movies draft. So you had to draft a year and explain why that year was so great and why you enjoyed it and the movies of that of said year. So it was a really fun project to listen to. We all drafted 4 years, 5 years, 4 or 5 years. I can't remember. I got 4 out of my top 5 or 5 out of my top 6. Ray took my first number one pick, 1994. In the first round, but after that, I got all my picks. So it's a really fun show to listen to. Go check that out, especially if you are a cinephile. But to open today to talk, DP, we got the toughest test in golf. Currently started this morning as we record here on Thursday and going out throughout the weekend at Oakmont in Pennsylvania. And folks, even if you're not a golfer, it's one of the craziest things to watch. Like, check out these videos from practice during the week and all the pros and stuff. And you got a video of Bryson DeChambeau dropping a golf ball like from his waist into the rough 5 yards off the green, and you can't see the ball. It nestles so deep. They have 5 spotters on every hole to check the rough. The stint meter, if you guys don't know what that is, like 11 and 12 is fast. The fairways are running at 13, the greens at 16. Tony Finau hit a putt from 150 yards out, and it went and rolled up onto the green.
That's pretty close, too.
Yeah. Did you see that? It was just a little long on the back of the green, yeah. I mean, they asked a lot of the pros Tuesday after they came off the course, what would an 18 handicapper shoot, which just means a bogey golfer, right? 150, 170. One guy said 100. And he's like, really? That's only 10 over their handicap. He goes, that's the front nine. Another guy said they don't finish. You don't bring enough golf balls to finish, Justin Rose was saying. So if you're looking to watch some fucking really good people at what they do, struggle at what they do, this is the weekend for it.
It almost seems a little too extreme in some cases. I don't know.
Well, you remember the U.S. Open? Was it the U.S. Open so many years ago? And Phil, like, the ball came rolling back at him, and he didn't even wait for it to stop. He hit it.
Oh,
while it was
yeah,
moving because he was
that?
So frustrated. Yeah. I think that was the U.S. Open.
Yeah, you can't do that.
So, no, that you cannot do.
Well,
I think
you can do it, but you're gonna take an extra stroke on that.
Yes, you do get penalized for that, and he did. I was talking to one of my buddies today, and I was like, at the time, 138 golfers had either been out on the course or were currently on the course and had like a score. And out of those 138, like 9 were under par.
Wow. There was a, I can't remember what the bet was, what the odds were. There was a bet out there too that said any golfer to have a round that they don't have a bogey, any golfer to shoot 18 holes
happened.
Without one bogey. Do you think that would happen?
That happened already.
That would happen?
It already happened.
Non-bogey round?
Yeah, J.J. Spahn shot 4 under. He had 4 birdies. He started on the back. He had 4 birdies on the back, and he parred out the front.
Would have won some money. I think it was 1,200 to 1 or something like that. It was like crazy.
Sungjae Im is currently through 11 holes at 5 under with 5 birdies and no bogeys.
This is crazy.
Yeah, I think everybody else has at least a bogey.
There was like a 300-yard par 3 or something like that, too, going on. There
289.
Was...
289.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's currently 16 guys out of 156 under par.
Oh, that's pretty good. It might have been a bogey-free... What is a bogey-free week? Well, I thought it was a bogey-free round. Yeah.
Yeah.
Either way.
Well, there's only two guys. There's only 1.5 right now. The other guy hasn't finished yet. So
yeah, that's just insane. Yeah. I saw some. I haven't watched the actual. I watched some of the practice stuff that they were showing those videos and the app. I can't remember who it was, but they had the stint meter on the green and rolled a ball and just watch it go rolling right off the fucking green. Like, it's just crazy.
Yeah, frustrating. They got this is the one where guys take a lot of time. They take a week off the next week because it's so mentally draining. Like, you need to know what part of the fairway you're even hitting into to make it stay in the fairway, let alone like what part of the green to not roll off and have an impossible chip and things of that nature. So yeah, if you're a golf fan, you look forward to the majors just because it's a tougher test and you get to see these guys struggle a little bit and see some really cool courses. But yeah, it's going to be brutal this weekend. So I'll be watching, I'll be tweeting. That's for sure.
It'll be fun to see watch these guys and how they can actually navigate around a course that, yeah, one little mistake just kind of kills you. And you know, those roughs is like, that's insane. Like I would have no chance. Like, it's the hardest part is just trying to find your ball in the rough. Like, that kills you.
A lot of amateur golfers don't have the capability to swing at the angle you need to get the ball out of that rough either. Like, you can't hit a sweeping shot. Like, you'll never get to the ball. It needs to be a really steep angle of attack down into it. It's hard for me to do, and I'm a 4 handicap. So
yeah, because you're not cutting through that grass. You're hitting the ball. You're crushing
the ball
first.
Here's your wedge. Here's your wedge. There you go.
Just get out of there.
So check that out on NBC all weekend. Should be really fun. The best thing about the majors is you got all the live guys there too. So you literally have the best collection of golfers in the world as we are, third major of the year. It was also a Ryder Cup year. So golf is having a really great 2025. Let's take a commercial, only commercial. When we come back, we'll talk wrestling. How about that? It's DPP. At It's Me DPP at PC Tunney. Those are us. We'll be right back.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following. This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Big weekend last, big day, big Saturday last weekend, as we had the doubleheader of WWE shows. First, the collaboration between WWE, NXT, and AAA. First time in 30 years, Worlds Collide returned, and DP and I both watched it. I enjoyed the show. It was something for me to do to kill time, basically, till Money in the Bank started. So that was nice. But I did enjoy it. For me, a reintroduction into AAA and an introduction for a lot of people into that style of company and in-ring. Octagon Jr., Aerostar, Mr. Iguana defeated the Latin World Order, Latino World Order, LWO, Dragon Lee, Cruz del Toro, and Lince Dorado, which I thought was a really fun match. And then Dom got his nose involved, and Octagon Jr. ended up getting an IC title match at Money in the Bank out of it. I thought that was brilliant to give people a free show. This was free, by the way. This was on YouTube. You couldn't watch it anywhere else but WWE's YouTube channel. Free. And say, oh, well, if you like this, he's going to be on the next show. And it's cost you $4.99 if you want to watch it. And you'll get Peacock for a month. So I thought that was pretty cool. How'd you like the six-man?
Yeah, I thought that was a really good idea. It's a great way to merge the two and to, you know, show them the style and say, hey, we got more awesome stuff coming up here. And yeah, get them introduced to both styles. I thought it was really fun. I thought Mr. Iguana obviously stole the internet as well, stealing the show with his antics, which was kind of funny. And something, you know, just a little different, a little goofy, I think. Some people probably didn't like it. I don't know. But I thought it was entertaining. I thought it was pretty fun. You get those little gimmicks like Mr. Sacco or Santino with the snake, Cobra,
R-Truth.
Yeah, so you know, you get another one of those characters in there and it's something a little different and fun, and you know, the kids are gonna like that iguana.
That iguana can really take a bump. I mean, Lince Dorado was going off on them.
Ooh, yeah. What did he get? The Spanish fly? What else did he hit him with? I think
it was got it all. Man, he hit him with everything but the kitchen sink. And I saw people bitching about it. I'm like, you don't know what you're watching. You're the same people that bitched about Sami Zayn versus the Jackass guys too, where Sami Zayn calls it one of his fucking greatest masterpieces in professional wrestling. It's perspective, people. That's what it's supposed to be. Not everything should be this fucking AEW match.
No, and besides them too, like, even if you wanted to argue it, like, I've seen Kenny Omega's wrestled a broom, and was it Okada that wrestled the blow-up doll or whatever, like, that they've done that. They do that over in Japan too. Like, it's gimmick stuff that they do once in a while and pull out. It's entertaining, it's different, it's just funny, you know, and there's always a character like that all the time. It's some generation, and guess what? He's stealing the show, so I think it's working.
And he's making a lot of money. Yeah, he's making a lot of money because people like that person. They're paying attention to that person.
Right.
Stephanie Vaquer and Lola Vice defeat Chic Tormenta and Dallas by pinfall. Vaquer y Vice should be their fucking tag team name, and they should be a tag team. Or, like, the best pair of asses in the world. One of the two. My God.
Yeah.
What a dream to just watch them work.
Where's old Gator when you need him?
That ass. Times two.
Yeah. I mean, you're looking at a couple, of the future generation of superstars in the women's division, wherever it may be. So that's, it was just a good showing for all that.
Knock on wood, stay healthy. Lola Vice and Stephanie Vaquer are the future of the WWE women's division. And, you know, they want to be there, and the people in charge know it. So I enjoyed it. It was okay match. It was nothing super special. They had some fun little spots in there. And, you know, the double head thing or whatever. Whatever it is.
Ass to mouth.
It's a face in my... Yeah. We had another six-man tag. Legado del Fantasma, Santos Escobar, Angel, Iberto. What was he before? What was his last name before?
Oh, man, you're going to put me on the spot for that. Hernandez?
I know it was Humberto Carrillo. All right, it doesn't matter. They defeated El Hijo de Dr. Wagner Jr., Pagano, and Psycho Clown. And, boy, Pagano didn't know what the fuck he was doing in the ring. This was a brutal match.
That was a lot going on. One thing I did like, I guess they did it with the other ones too, is pre-match stuff when they talked about, you know, where these guys came from and a little bit of upbringing and stuff like that too, and history behind some of the luchas and Dr. Wagner, you know, carrying on a legacy and everything too. I thought that was like, that stuff was pretty neat. Whether or not some of the match may have been a little rough, that's okay. But I like that part too, because you're reintroducing an audience to something they may never have seen or people they don't know. And that's the big thing, is get them to know these people, because we always talk about that. If it's, you know, give me a reason to care, or give me, you know, tell me about them a little bit so that I actually give a shit. So I did like that.
I completely agree with you there. The next match was probably my favorite match of the show, even though the last match was fucking great. But the Fatal 4-Way, I was rooting so hard for Javon Evans. Laredo Kid and Ray Phoenix were also in there. Ethan Page retains. Just a really good Fatal 4-Way, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. To be honest, I really thought they were going to do a title change here, you know, to give them something on this show to remember, or... You know, have like, I thought maybe Laredo Kid would steal it, or, you know, Ray Phoenix probably not because he's on the main roster, but I really thought that there was going to be a title change just to, you know, have an NXT title change on the AAA show, and, you know, and kind of keep that little bit of a merge of the two together, maybe for more storylines. But, you know, otherwise, yeah, really great match. A lot of good back and forth. Javon Evans looked like he was going to pull it out. Everybody was rooting for him.
He is going to be something. Yeah, he's a guy to keep your eye on, folks.
Yeah. So that's, yeah. If he doesn't win it soon enough, he looked really good and put on a great show. I think they all did really awesome here. And I couldn't complain about this. This was a great match.
And then the main event delivered. El Hijo del Vikingo defeating Chad Gable. Man, I really wanted Chad Gable to win that and then win the Money in the Bank. I thought it'd been fun, but it neither happened. But this was a fun match, and Vikingo is a star, and he's their number one guy.
Yeah, if you didn't know who Vikingo was before this, you certainly do now. He's fantastic and puts on the face of a star too. Like he just looked like the star, you know. And the interview beforehand that they did, it was great. Put on a great match, and I was as soon as Chad Gable lost, I'm like, damn it, there goes the weekend. Like everything we wanted out of that weekend, I'm like, fuck. But still, you know, both of them just phenomenal athletes and a hell of a match, I thought. And yeah, Vikingo's is probably the right call, because then Vikingo takes AAA, and that's, you know, he's the cornerstone of that show to start, or the company basically to start. And that's a good thing to do.
Yeah, overall, really fun. I hope it doesn't take another 30 years for them to do this. I don't want them to do it every year. Maybe every other year would be fun. Keep checking in. But I would like to see, you know, AAA guy here and there maybe come up and dance with the main roster or NXT. So that's just a rather really good space to have talent coming through your company. And just another style to contribute to what WWE's put together now, you know, with all these secondary brands, not just NXT. So let's get to Money in the Bank. Past Saturday night, very solid show. Like I talked about before, Dom would retain against
Octagon Jr.
Yeah. That was a really quick match. I don't even think it was 5 minutes.
It wasn't. which was not necessarily surprising, but, you know, they had the reason, things they could say. You know, Octagon already had a match that day and everything, and gives Dom a little bit of a strong win over the Lucha, you know, division that he's, you know, against. And yeah, it was really quick, but it was good. And we talked about they're probably going to be adding a fifth match somewhere, and well, they did it the same day.
There it was.
Cool.
Yep. Women's Money in the Bank. Let's start there. Naomi ends up taking home the contract. This was nowhere near the match it was last year. This was not a very good Money in the Bank match.
No, and I had picked horribly in this whole weekend here. I did not see that one coming, and yeah, not as great. And you know, I don't know why. You know, really, possibly because they're just, you know, you had three newer members to the roster, and maybe it had something to do with that, but it wasn't that great. They really tried hard to get certain spots in that just didn't seem to like fit. I get the idea.
Forced.
Some of them were a good idea, you know, getting the Vakir giving Ripley the Devil's Kiss as a, you know, that's your favorite move there on the ladder. But if you know, it was a great spot, a great idea, but it's like some of that stuff is just, you can't really try, like you said, forced, you know, you can't try too hard to make it work. And yeah, I had a lot of high hopes, a lot of good talent in here, but it was very strange and really surprising that Naomi came out with it, to be honest.
I mean, I get they're pushing her, right? Rhea doesn't need it. Alexa would have been interesting. I just didn't think there was any way they were going to give it to Julia or Stephanie Vakir. Roxanne was a possibility, but they decided, let's push Naomi. Let's see what they can do. You know, Naomi's good on the mic. She has a good personality. That's fine. She's bad right now. She can be lurking. So I'm okay with it. But like you said, I thought it would have been Rhea or Alexa, and with Roxanne as like a dark horse.
Yeah. And let me say, yeah, having Naomi win it is great. Like, I just didn't pick it. I just didn't see it coming. Like, I have nothing wrong with her holding on to the briefcase, because she is a great talent and a former champion as well anyway. So that's really cool to see her have it and have an opportunity to take one of the titles and have another title run. I think she's definitely well deserved.
To me, it kind of signals that either Jade or Bianca are going to get a world title, because that would make the most sense for her to cash in on one of them.
Yeah, or vice versa. Like, either Naomi's going to win the title, and that leads to your maybe WrestleMania match next year between a triple threat or something.
Triple threat. That's a good call. That could really be something that happens there.
That's probably something that's
happen. Well, Chair Shot got it right. Becky Lynch was picked 8-3 to win the title, and she did. And now it's going to be her and Bayley with a program over that said IC title.
Yeah, it was great to see Bayley come back. That was really cool. You know, it'd be interesting if Lyra just kind of fades out of that and goes on to something else, because they seem to, you know, after Becky won, they did the whole bit where she had to raise her hand, but then obviously Becky being the heel, you know, wanted more, and finally Lyra, you know, broke and gave her the German suplex or whatever to get the crowd, you know, going. Again, I think I said it too in the last week, like, that's the great best baby face and heel moves you could have done right there to get them both over more. So I don't know if Lyra's still going to be in the mix or have anything, but having Bayley come back, and now you got Becky and Bayley over the Intercontinental title, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, I'm here for that. I would imagine that's going to be something that runs up to SummerSlam, maybe SummerSlam, with a blow-off match at SummerSlam. It sounds like a really good idea there.
I could see a nice steel cage match at SummerSlam between the two or something.
So, yeah. Yeah, maybe a strap match or something like that.
Yeah.
Men's Money in the Bank. We kind of had this narrowed down to three guys. Seth, LA Knight, and El Grande Americano. And Greg and Dave got it. It makes sense. It was really cool to see Seth in the green suit with the Money in the Bank on, I think it was Monday night. Yeah. And Cena was out there. but this was a much better Money in the Bank match than the women. This was really fucking good, in my opinion.
I thought it definitely could have been better. I thought there was a lot of, in a similar case, a lot of sloppy spots or forced to, like, some of the stuff they didn't necessarily have to do, like when they had El Grande, you know, you knew it was coming because El Grande set up the ladder on the outside. I'm like, well, usually if you set it up, you're using it. So like, okay, at some point he's going to climb up to that thing. And, you know, I think it would have been better. They tried to get a timing where LA Knight gave him the slingshot so he could jump up and climb across to get, I can't remember who was climbing at the time, LA Knight, Penta. But it was, you know, I think it would have been better if he would have just started climbing up because it was so slow and everybody had to kind of stand there and wait. Like there was a lot of spots I thought kind of like that where it was a little like, they're trying a little too hard too. The intensity level was there though with the LA Knight being the home guy, and every time he was getting close, the crowd was going crazy for it. I thought that was awesome. Solo was really interesting. You know, they've been talking a lot about how comedic he is and all this stuff, but he's a heel, so he doesn't really do that, you know, on television. And all of a sudden, he started bringing that out a little bit, you know, trying to get everybody on his side, doing their little catchphrase things and, you know, being more of a jokester. So I'm kind of interested to see where they go with this, because we still had a little more interference in this match with, what are their fucking names? Fatu and Blanken.
Oh, JC Mateo,
Jesus, Fatu coming out, and having all that get interfered with. But then he finally turns on Solo after looking like he's going to help him. It was really interesting. Bronson Reed and Bron Breakker, that little showdown of those big motherfuckers was pretty awesome. I thought like those two, all four of those guys standing in the ring was really cool.
And too. I mean, Braun has the sprinting spear down so perfectly down the aisle. Like he really trusts the guy he's hitting to sell it for him, because he really just kind of grazes the guy so his body turns and he does kind of like a three quarters flip somersault thing. He doesn't spin over, he turns itself. It's really fun if you watch it back, but when you don't see it coming and then all of a sudden he's going that fucking fast, you know, and he just executes it so well. It's probably the best spear in the business right now.
I would agree. And they make it look so deadly. And like I said, he does a great job of making it look great, but it's literally about the guy selling it when it comes to that one, because it's so goddamn fast. You don't want to hit him with your damn shoulder or something. You're catching him with your arm and you make it look really good. And
you're going to hurt yourself if you're hitting him that hard. Do you know what I mean? Going that fast.
Yeah.
But otherwise, but yeah, fun match. A lot of outside interference, long match, 34 minutes.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
That's Money in the Bank.
Kind of crazy to see a six-man ladder match, but have four more guys come and interfere. And like, man, that's just a lot of stuff going on. But I thought, they did a good job. You know, they getting the guys out of the way when that was happening, and everybody gets a little bit of a rest while they do their thing. And
well, then we got the main event. Well, let's talk about Seth Rollins first. It sure seems like he wants John, especially considering what happened Monday. We'll get to in a second here. I don't know. What plans do you see for Seth with this?
John Cena makes a lot of sense, obviously, if he wants to, take down, the GOAT. That'd be the way to go. I think I'd be completely down for that. Obviously we'll talk a little bit more about what's going on with the World Heavyweight Championship in a sec, but at this point it seems like that's the way to go, depending on.
I just watched Tiffany Stratton throw out the first pitch at a Mets game, I think, and she threw it into the fucking crowd.
Sweet.
There you go. All right, sorry, breaking news.
So I think him getting into that storyline makes a little more sense too, with the history, as well as, Cody Rhodes being into that, because obviously with the last few years, this whole story of all them together and Punk, we'll talk about in a minute too, you know, are just all kind of intertwined, those, especially those three. If Roman Reigns comes back too, you know, you got a lot of story in between all that group, which are on, you know, on Raw. So that would be, I think that's kind of the reason why. And, you know, Rollins kind of helped Cody win the title from Roman at WrestleMania, and he kind of maybe owes him a favor. Maybe there's something going on there. I think there's just a lot of stuff built in that story already that it makes sense that he would maybe go after Cena, with Cena and Cody having their feud too.
Yeah. We're going to find out. Let's talk about the last match first. The truth will set you free, Dan. He's back.
Who saw that coming?
Me. So all you dipshits that fucking wouldn't listen and it tried to make me explain what semantics are, it means that you're using words, not actual premises of possibility in life, to where they got you. Or you can believe whatever you want. Or you can believe that you actually got R-Truth back after they fired him. You can believe that if you'd like to.
I don't know who this R-Truth guy is that you're talking about, but I know Ron Killings when I see him.
Dude cut his hair and everything on Monday.
That was funny. I just chopped it all off. I like the cool attitude. Just knowing that, okay, I'm going to do a little thing, something a little different for my, you know, if this is his kind of final contract, final run, and make him something. Give it, oh man, if they could give him another shot. Like, he's really good and really talented and well deserved. And as great as he was as a comedian and everything else, he's a great wrestler too.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what they're going to do with him now, though, right? That's the thing. Yeah. Because honestly, what are they going to do? Where are you going to put him? He's not going back into any world title picture. I'll tell you that right now. So we'll see. That should be interesting. We do have John Cena versus CM Punk at Night of Champions. Okay. Punk's not winning. I'd be really shocked if he won the title.
No, I don't think Cena's losing this. I think you said it. I don't think Cena's losing this thing till December, till basically his last match.
I don't know about that. No. Anyway, let's go back to Punk.
Yeah,
because I feel like that there's got to be like a redemption part of this arc for Cena, right? Where he loses and then he has time still to become a good guy again, or not? I don't know. I'm all over the place.
Can't make it. It's like they could do so many things that makes for a good story, but I think I don't think Punk winning it at this point is the move that they're going to go with right now. I think the next time Punk wins is going to be at Mania when he gets his real main event. But right now the story that CM Punk beating him isn't really part of the good story.
No.
I don't think so.
Yeah, it's just part of the checklist, like Randy Orton, I think.
Yeah, not that there's anything wrong with this match or going to this story.
No.
Obviously, those two have a great history together, and it's going to be an awesome match.
Were you shocked that Gunther beat Jey Uso on Monday?
Immensely shocked.
Why? Jey didn't even have the title for 2 months.
Yeah, like I think I understand why, but it's fucking stupid.
I don't know.
And I don't want to say his name because I don't want to see him show up for his retirement match. So,
Goldberg?
Yeah. I think that's exactly the reason why he went back to Gunther. But
So Gunther can beat him? So he can challenge Gunther for the title?
Yeah. Yeah. And get his and retirement
lose?
Match. Yeah. But why?
Is that SummerSlam?
I don't know. I don't want to see it at all. I don't want to see that. Why do I want to see that?
Jey Uso ever become world champion again?
And that's yes, he should. Well, okay, should or will?
I didn't ask
no.
you.
No, he won't. He won't ever win it again.
Right.
And it's a huge disappointment. The most over guy right now. And you just had him lose it on Raw to Gunther, back to Gunther for what? To get to what? To what end? To what end, people?
We're going to find out. Yeah, that was kind of disappointing. And then, like, no presence of the briefcase for that match either. And, you know, with Seth coming out while John was out there, really tells you that it doesn't seem like that Money in the Bank briefcase is for the World Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah, that's a good point. not even showing up or sitting ringside or anything, or even showing him watching the match or something like that, really does tell you pretty much where he's going with it.
It feels like it, doesn't it?
I mean, unless they're going to have him cash in on old Goldberg when he wins the title, and Goldberg gets cashed in on and loses.
I'm not playing it.
Fuck. Good. I said it three times. I said it twice on accident.
I lied. All right, that's enough.
I totally said it twice on accident.
He's like, I'm not going to say his name. Then, like, 5 minutes later, you say it three times in, like, 12 seconds.
It's like Beetlejuice. You can't help but say it.
I love it. Right?
Yeah, I just... That's the only way I could see it maybe happening is if they had him had his retirement match and win and then get cashed in on and lose. Be an interesting shocker and a way to get him out of there, like, and get the title moved around quickly. I could see that maybe.
Hey, if they want to bounce that thing back and forth a few times, it's something they haven't done in a long time. You know, sure. When's the last time that title moved around a lot? Well, a world title.
At least 5 years.
Been years. Years, yeah. So I'm okay with that. That'd be interesting. I think, like, since The Miz won it, right? And kind of, like, someone had it, and then briefly, then The Miz had it not too long, and then it moved again. But we'll see. It's summer. I'm not complaining about any of it, honestly. I'm just giving you my honest opinions on a few things that I thought, and DP as well, could have been a little bit better. But this was much better pay-per-view than last year's Money in the Bank, I'll tell you that.
What happened last year?
Not so Money in the Bank. Don't you remember? Exactly. It was like we talked. We were like, this is the first PLA in like 4 years that was not above average, and that was that last year. So I don't exactly remember.
That was the
specific reasons why.
That was the Bloodline. That was Drew McIntyre cashing in and losing. It was CM Punk interfering. Yeah, there wasn't really a lot going on.
So, but I am excited because we do have an afternoon pay-per-view coming up, PLE, the end of the month, June 28th from Saudi Arabia, Night of Champions. And I'm trying to look at the rest of the WWE schedule here. PLE schedule, here we go. Upcoming events, yes. So we got Night of Champions. We got a Saturday night's main event on July 12th. And in the afternoon that day, we have Great American Bash. So another doubleheader, July 12th. We have the all-women's pay-per-view, July 13th. August 2nd and 3rd, SummerSlam. We Clash in Paris end of August. Another afternoon. I love it. And October 11th, Crown Jewel from Australia. It's another afternooner. That's a morning one, I think, even. Ooh, and yeah, round out like the year, Survivor Series. So lots to look forward to. So you're going to have a few post-PLE reactions, myself, DJ, probably AJ, for Night of Champions and the other couple through the rest of the summer here. So I think that's it today. Did I miss anything? Anything else you would need to get off your chesticles today?
King and Queen of the Ring coming back.
Yes.
Match has started. They'll have a Night of Champions finals at Night of Champions.
And they will get title shots.
And they will get title shots at SummerSlam. So that's setting your SummerSlam title matches. So that'll make things a little interesting as well about who's going to get their title matches at SummerSlam.
Indeed.
I'm a little disappointed that they're doing fatal four-way for the first round. Like, it just... Yeah, there's so much talent there. They could have stretched it out a little bit, but yeah, whatever.
We only have a couple weeks.
I know.
It's like literally 2 weeks. It's gonna be the champion. So
fast. Yeah.
But then you have that 5-week layoff before SummerSlam. So, and with the new schedule, SummerSlam is the beginning of August now, folks.
And a two-nighter.
And a two-nighter. Yep, but never to go backwards.
Nope. Nope.
All right. We did it again, the 478th time. A little nice compact show today. DP, let everybody know where they can find you and this fine audio program.
We can find me all over the worldwide social media interwebs at It's Me, DPP. And you can follow this show at Podcast DWI on the X or Facebook.com/DWI Podcast.
You can find me watching golf this weekend and tweeting about it on X at PC Tunney. yeah, we did it again. Don't drink and drive, folks. Drink in podcast 478th edition today. Chairshot Radio Network, all your favorite streaming platforms, ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. Thanks for listening. You'll hear us next time. So. What's that? What? Thanks for listening.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.